So, Josh, did you manage to watch the Xbox conference the other day?
No, I couldn't be bothered to do that. I just watched some other YouTube channel sum it all up for me.
Let me clarify. It wasn't actually a conference. It was an Xbox podcast.
Yeah. Event. I've seen, like I said, I watched, I think it's like a Fallout-focused channel, and they did a summary of the whole event. So they were obviously looking at it from a particular point of view. As someone who probably did watch it, do you want to let me know what happened?
Yeah, so basically the first thing they started discussing was...
Well, how did it all come about? Because it wasn't going to happen, though, was it, originally? It wasn't like something planned, but there was stuff going on beforehand, weren't there?
Even they said like...
Like rumours and stuff.
Yeah, so the last month has been rumours about games, exclusive Xbox games coming to... other systems.
Starfield, Indiana Jones.
PlayStation, Nintendo. Yeah, Starfield and Indiana Jones is coming to PlayStation. So the internet went in complete crazy mode and was like, oh my god, it's the end for Xbox. It's the end of the world. Oh my god. And yeah, pretty much none of that really happened. There are 4 exclusive games that will be coming to other platforms, to either PlayStation or Nintendo. They didn't name the games, but it's strongly rumored that Sea of Thieves is one of them, and Hi-Fi Rush is one of them as well. Those are the 2 big ones. But that kind of makes sense, because what they were suggesting in this podcast direct is that in order for Xbox to be successful, they need people to actually play their games. And I think they've slowly realized where it's costing money to make the game and taking up a lot of resources, and then to deliver it to a platform in which you're only going to be releasing it via the Xbox console or the PC or a streaming service, they're not making their money. So they looked at it and thought, okay, we can broaden our player base and release their exclusives to other platforms. People might think, oh, that, like, you know, that's just giving up. They've just completely lost like this console war. But I don't think there is a console war. You know, there's, when they released the PlayStation 5 and when they released the Xbox Series X, it was quite clear that Microsoft have given up on console wars. They are strictly focused on Game Pass and digital content and trying to get you to subscribe to their services. So yeah, I wasn't disappointed. I wasn't like overly like, oh, this is amazing. It's just the way it is. It's the way the company has been heading for the last few years, and it's just a gradual, that's how it's gonna be. And
I don't know if it's something we've spoken about on the podcast, but it's definitely something that has been quite apparent. I mean, obviously, Xbox is owned by Microsoft, and Microsoft have done... I don't want to say they've done similar things, but if you look at their other products, they are less interested in one-off sales, and they're more interested in how they can get recurring revenue from something. So whether that's a free Windows operating system, but it might be ad-supported, because I think Windows 11 Home can have ads, and they've had it... I remember Windows Vista Basic, I think that had ads, or the Office, the Microsoft Office, I think that came along with it. I think that had ads in it. They do, you know, in the business sector as well, instead of buying licenses of Windows or licenses of Office, you know, they're really trying to push you to get into Office 365 and Microsoft 365, which are basically Office and Windows as a service, and you pay monthly, annually, whatever per license, as opposed to just buying everything up front, because you get more money in the long term, even if charging less per year. The theory is you get more for it. So if Game Pass is equivalent to about 3 years of a game console plus a couple of games, then they want to try and push people into getting Game Pass, because they'll get more recurring revenue from that. And at that point, it doesn't matter where they're playing it. I know they're still trying to get the Game Pass streaming app onto the iPhone.
Well, no, they said, I have to correct you on that, because they strictly said that Game Pass will always be on
Well, Game Pass can be played on a web browser, and they are putting an app onto the iPhone because they've been fighting Apple about it for the last couple of years, and the rules have just changed in the EU that have made Apple change their rules. So Microsoft will be putting Game Pass as an app on platforms that they don't own. Whether that will come to Switch and PlayStation and Steam OS at a later date, just because they say it now, doesn't mean it's not going to change. Do you remember when Windows 10 was going to be the last operating system?
Exactly. Okay, fair enough, yeah. That is...
So things can change. And like I say, they are already in the process of doing it.
But does it make sense for it to change? Because what they said was in the conference made sense. Game Pass will not be on Nintendo, will not be on PlayStation, but the some of the exclusive games will be. And what I can see is people still using the subscription of Game Pass on either an Xbox or, like you say, iOS or Android, but then you still have that recognition of having a gaming console and being relevant in that space. If you just put Game Pass on PlayStation and on Nintendo, then you're just a software company. You're no longer a hardware company. And I think...
But Microsoft is a software company way more than they are a hardware company. And I know Xbox is the exception to that rule, really. But Xbox will be using a lot of business expertise from Microsoft in how they're doing things. And... I thought you already could do Game Pass on the PlayStation through the web browser. Yeah, it might not be native app, but I thought there was a web browser and you could run it through. I'm sure I saw a video about 4 years ago where Linus Tech Tips did the same. They were running Forza on a PS4 or a PS5. Unless it was the other way around and they were using PlayStation streaming on an Xbox. I can't quite remember, but yeah. But then, so the games, the exclusive games bit.
Well, see, the thing is, they said there's going to be four games. Phil Spencer said, don't expect future games. We're just starting off with four games. We're just seeing how it goes. But that's just, if it goes well, then they're going to put more games on there, because I think he did another interview after and saying, like, you said Starfield would not be coming to PlayStation. He said, well, don't quote me on that. Like, it's not out of the realms. Who knows in like 10 years time, who cares at that point? Let's just release it on PlayStation. Who knows?
Well, the funny thing is that Starfield not being released on the PlayStation and being an Xbox exclusive, it really goes against Todd Howard's sell Skyrim to as many different people in as many different versions policy, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Yeah, and I think because they've acquired so many game publishers and game studios, they're in this position where they have a lot of games and developers who are probably, have kicked off and said, look, we want to release it not just on Xbox platforms and or PC. We want to provide our games to other services so that they can do better and find a new audience.
But that's the thing. It's like when the Xbox marketplace is smaller, it's less than half of the whole industry because, well, between them and PlayStation 5, the two consoles that are kind of neck and neck, they've got less than 50% of the users. So, if you become an Xbox exclusive game, there's just so much less potential sales and money there. And I know they're going to get a whole load of money from Microsoft to be the exclusive. And obviously they've got to work out whether that's going to be more or less than being on both platforms and the development cost of being on multiple platforms and everything like that. So obviously it's a gamble either way for the developer. But, it's like I've got a PlayStation 5. Sometimes I feel like I'm on the right side of the quote-unquote console war. Sometimes I feel like I'm not, given the games that are coming out. Given that I've got a good gaming PC, a lot of the exclusives I can play on the PC, so I'm kind of doing okay in that sense. So I don't need to go out and get an Xbox Series. But there's a lot of people who are just single console. They're one or the other. And I don't really understand why game fans are so into the console war and into exclusives. I feel like the only reason people are into exclusive consoles is that they feel like it validates their choosing of their console. And I think that's just a silly sort of idea to go around. There's no reason, like, I'm not going to be all like communist and everything, but there's no reason for Xbox and PlayStation and Nintendo and PC gaming people to be all at loggerheads and shouting at each other like they do all over the internet. It's like, it gains literally nothing.
I suppose it's the people that think, I've bought this system and now I feel like I'm at a disadvantage now because all the exclusives are being shared to other platforms. So what was the point of me buying this exclusive?
But, I mean, why would that be a disadvantage?
Well, they see it as a disadvantage of them buying a box that they thought they were going to get exclusive games.
Yeah, but I don't see how that is an advantage to the gaming world. How can anyone see that as a positive thing?
It's their mentality where they think, oh, because...
Yeah, I know, I hear that. It's beggars belief. Why would...
That's not what they think.
Why would you think that is a good thing, you know?
It's like, oh, these people, we've got this amazing game, Starfield, and these people can't play it because they don't own this console. And then when the news broke, like the rumors started of, oh, Starfield might be coming to PlayStation, just the internet went completely crazy. And which is just... Who knows? It might have been Microsoft's plan to put Starfield on PlayStation. Maybe they backed out. Maybe we're like, oh, you know, this is too much of a big reaction to it. Maybe we should, like Phil said, test our waters and put these four games, which are probably going to be Sea of Thieves and Hi-Fi Rush being the two big ones out of the four. I also enjoyed the fact that they did talk about backwards compatibility still, because they started talking about Windows, and Phil Spencer was saying, like, it is kind of true. Like, if you put in a disc, let's say from like Windows 98, or you have a game in which is backwards, what I was trying to say is, like, you have a game that's backwards compatible that's like 20 years old, and they've tried to keep that with Xbox. They've tried to have every generation your games are going to be compatible, which I did like to hear. I enjoyed the fact that they did talk about backwards compatibility and respecting the previous consoles that they've had. It's not like they're ashamed of the games and the consoles.
Yeah, that's good. And that's that is one of Microsoft's strengths, is all the games you can play from the last sort of like 10, 15 years of, well, I guess longer, of Xbox history.
They say they haven't got it, like, even they say, like, they haven't got it completely right, and that is for reasons that it's just strictly out of their hands, but they have tried to bring as many...
It's clear in the recent few consoles that they are trying to not make the same mistakes as they did with the original Xbox and the 360, where the hardware was so different that it made compatibility different. With the One and the Series being very similar, and when they make the third one, when they make the Xbox Triple, presumably that will be close enough to the Series that it should be able to play all of the Xbox One, all of the Series... and a good handful of the 360 games, hopefully.
So yeah, they did touch on that. They are making a next-gen console.
Yeah, I think we're going to hear about it in Christmas, aren't we? They said.
There's going to be like a mid-gen.
There's going to be a mid-gen thing. But I think they said they're going to tease something about the next one during the holidays. They said.
Well, I don't know. I didn't hear that. They just said that they are like in the mode of next gen. But it feels like so soon. It's only been like 4 years, but I know like a lot of people are saying like 4 years, like a normal gaming generation is normally like 4 to 5 to 6 years. It just feels so quick. Like, it doesn't feel like enough games have passed, because games, well, I kind of blame COVID as well. Like, COVID has been that when the consoles did come out and there's a big shortages of them, and game devs were forced to work from home, and it was like harder to make games and just delays. It just feels like we haven't had enough games come out to justify a next gen console. It just feels like we haven't really got our teeth into.
I think 2023 had. I think 2023 did have quite a few games. I remember seeing. Some I saw something at the end of the year. It was like a little roundup, and there was quite a lot. You know, quite a good amount of bigger games. But I mean, I was talking to Jen like only an hour ago, and we weren't really, there wasn't anything on our radar really that's coming up in the next year. There's a few things that's going to come out like 2025, 2026. And also, I know there is stuff coming out this year, but there wasn't anything on our radio that's coming out. Nothing like Spider-Man, Miles Morales, or GTA 6 or something. I think we come up with like Rise of Ronin, if that's coming out soon, or if it already is out, I'm not sure. But it feels like there's nothing at the moment to kind of look forward to in the near to immediate future.
Yeah, which is, it's quite surprising why they've started talking about next gen. But the mid-gen console that's going to be coming out is going to be that all-digital console, which I'm not really... It might be more powerful than the Xbox Series X, but an all-digital version, I don't think so. I'm not interested. It's just going to be a Game Pass console. So, yeah, it kind of, like, if that's the future in which they're going on as well, like, if they're going to be ditching physical media, that's another thing. They didn't really talk about physical media. It was all like Game Pass, digital content, digital games. I think it's just the way we're heading, but it's kind of like, if a game costs £70 buy brand new, or I could pay, I don't know how much Game Pass Ultimate is, like 150 200 quid a year, you would rather do that, wouldn't you, than pay 70 quid? And it's like, it's their day one when the game releases. And that's what they said as well. It's like every game is day one, and they're adding Bethesda games now and Activision games.
But the thing is, it doesn't even have to be £150 a year, because it can be £20 to play it for a month. And if that's all you're going to play the game for, you don't have to spend 70 quid. You just paid that 20 and you just drop the subscription again.
Yeah, you definitely get your value for money. Like if you see it in terms of, like, you could play in a year, like for me, I could play probably like and complete, or get my thing out of it, like 4 or 5 games a year. And if they're worth like 70 quid or 60 quid when they come out, you're definitely getting your money's worth. But then at the end of the day, you still don't own those games. So if you want to go back to them, then you have to dip in your pocket again and pay the yearly or monthly subscription. But yeah, that's life. That's the way they're heading. It seems we're heading into a world in which it's just, it seems a lot easier and cheaper and more sensible to buy a subscription like Netflix style Game Pass than it is to pick up the game, especially if you want to play the game day one. You could do what most people do and just, like, and this is what Xbox don't want you to do, is wait a year or two and then wait for the game to get reasonably priced and then pick it up secondhand. But then they don't get any commission for that, which is fair. Like, you know, they want to get the sale, and so does the developers. So it's a win-win for them.
The other thing is, it does also allow you to do something. When Starfield came out, I played it day one with Game Pass, and that allowed me to play it for a month. But I don't have Game Pass at the moment, and I haven't really for a while, partly because the PlayStation, partly because most of the games I've been playing recently are games I've owned. So I've done Cyberpunk, I can't remember what else I've been playing recently, but they're games that I had owned. And my wife bought me Starfield for Christmas, and she managed to get it during the sale, so she got to save some money there. So I have actually basically got Starfield for free. And it's just one of those things. It's like, it all depends on the type of game that you're playing. If it's a game you can kind of play through quite quickly, then getting it on Game Pass can be quite a good thing. If it's a game like Fallout or Starfield or GTA or something where you're going to be playing it for weeks, months, if not years, then obviously in the long term, unless you are already having the subscription for something else entirely, not just for that one game, but for all the games, then it might be better to kind of get the game later in sales. But you do also have the opportunity of paying a lower price and still getting to play it on day one. So you kind of get the best of both worlds in that sense. You can wait for the sales to own the game, but you can use Game Pass to play it on day one. As long as the save game can be copied across. That's the only that's the only sort of like caveat, if the Game Pass and the non-Game Pass version are compatible.
It should be.
And that will be...
It's all cloud.
It depends on the game, doesn't it? It all depends on the game.
Cloud, though.
Only if you have the Game Pass version and the Xbox version. We got Starfield through Steam.
Oh, and
I had to use a...
Well, that's another thing they discussed. They said, like, they want more other platformers to be able to share your saves, share.
Well, like, I mean, so CD Projekt Red and Rockstar already get around that by having their own launchers. So I was able to use the cloud, like you said, to transfer my Cyberpunk from the PlayStation to the computer. But that wasn't using Sony. That was using my Cyberpunk login account on the PlayStation and then the CD Projekt Red launcher on the computer. Rockstar have a similar one. Although, actually, thinking about it, I don't think you can transfer it. Or you might be able to transfer it. Oh, I don't really know. I don't know. So, but sometimes you can do it, sometimes you can't. That's all down to the game developers, really.
Well, that's what they kind of wanted. They wanted, if you're playing the game on the PlayStation and you save the game, then it should automatically transition if you played it on Xbox, let's say.
Because some games already have that. Like, I think if you play like Rocket League or Destiny or something like that, then you can just jump straight from one system to the other to the other.
Yeah, but like you said, that's you required to log into your Epic account.
But how else would it work? It would have to be. They
sound like they didn't want that kind of barrier. They wanted it seamlessly.
So they basically wanted, they need to have a system with Nintendo and with Sony to have some kind of integration where you can link your accounts together and then just any games you own on both, you can copy them across. But that's something, they don't need to tell us that. They need to go to Sony and sort, you know, work out a deal and how they can do it.
Well, they put it out there. They put it to those guys and they start saying, like, we want to do this. So, and then they started gloating and saying, we're like, for Nintendo and for PlayStation, we're the biggest publishers for these companies. And you're like, that's technically true, I suppose, now. But they were saying, like, it's best for Xbox and it's also best for the gaming industry as a whole. Because they're thinking about the wider scope of where the games industry is going to be in the next 10 years, where they're going to sit as a company. And I think they realize that they're not going to be top dog. They're going to be this service that's going to be providing content to people, allowing people to access their games anywhere via cloud streaming or playing on Xbox, playing on PlayStation, playing on Nintendo. So yeah, we'll wait and see. Like, there's going to be 4 games. The interesting part that someone brought up was it's heavily rumored that there's going to be a PlayStation Pro. So would that mean that, say, these exclusive games that are moving to PlayStation, would they have to make a PlayStation 5 version for those games? And would it even run better than the Xbox Series X, let's say? You know what I mean? Like, say if you're getting, okay, I know it's not happening, but let's say Starfield was to move to PlayStation 5. And currently, I think you can play that like 4K 30 on Xbox Series X. But then if it goes to PlayStation 5 Pro and it can do 4K 60 or even 4K 120, then you're like, well, sorry, Phil, why am I picking up an Xbox? I'm sorry, I think I'm going to go and play it where it performs better on the PlayStation console. Sorry. But according to them, that's totally fair. And they're like, yeah, we want you to do that. We want you to just play the game. We want you to pick up the game. But then that's the thing. If I bought it on PlayStation and I bought it day one at £70 and they would get majority of the cut compared to if I did pick it up on Xbox, you can do what you were suggesting and pay for Game Pass for a month, play the game and then wait for it to go down in price and then pick it up. And maybe get it even secondhand, and they don't get more of the cut.
Well, you're not going to get it secondhand because it's going to be a digital-only console at that point. But it's one of those things. It's like, how much profit does Microsoft and Sony get from their consoles? I think I saw something recently where Sony said selling a PS5 any cheaper than it currently is would be very difficult because they're not really making much of a profit. And you might find that they make more profit per single copy of a game than they do from a single console being sold. So really, if you're not making, and I think historically, haven't they always been selling consoles at a loss or at very little profit, because they've always known they're going to make their profits in the games themselves. So really, why does it need to be sold on their platform over the others?
I think the first gaming console that they made that actually made a profit was the PS4. And it was a very tiny profit. The PS3, when that first came out, they were like, was making a huge loss. Like,
yeah, you said that's because of the Blu-ray player or something, wasn't it?
Well, they had like all these extra features. They had like that SD card. They had the 4 USB ports. So they took the console and then they slimmed it down, didn't they? And that's when we got the PS3 Slim. But then they took everything out because it had like PS2 hardware inside the first base PS3s, the 60 gig models. So it had physical PS2 hardware that it could emulate rather than doing software emulation, which was better for the emulation, but it was costing them too much money to produce. So they just took that out. They took out the USB ports, the SD card reader in there, because it had like a little SD card reader slot for your pictures and videos that you could watch on there, because it was going to be like your ultimate media device.
Xbox One was supposed to be.
Yeah, exactly. And I was just about to say, at least this was handled a lot better than that. Like, that was a complete disaster. That's what kind of tanked. This is why Xbox are in this position now, because of this. In 2013, always DRM, always online, and sports TV. Haven't really got over that, and they've kind of been stuck in this position because of it. And also the Kinect. But yeah, I think, in general, I wasn't, like, there was nothing in that podcast that I was shocked, and I was like, oh no. It was kind of expected stuff that kind of made sense, and I thought, you know what, the way you're saying is it's good for Xbox, it's good for developers, it's, you know, get more players onto these games.
So you're not upset that I'll be able to play Starfield in 3 years' time on PlayStation 5?
No. Like you say, Skyrim has been released on everything. Why can't they put Starfield on everything and make it, like, can you imagine Starfield on the Switch 2? Why not? More sales. Hey, let me tell you. I was going to tell you something. Really, it's really. I managed to finish Resident Evil 4 remake.
Okay.
And I got so.
That's not Village, is it? It's the one that came out after Village.
It's after Village. It's the remake of Resident Evil 4, and I was absolutely loving the game, absolutely loving it. I was like, this game is. Exactly, like, it's a perfect remake. Everything's been upgraded, the graphics, the gameplay, everything. And unfortunately, you get to a part within the game where you have to take down a certain boss, and this boss is the most hardest thing I've ever played in my entire life. I could not beat this boss. I spent hours upon hours dying, restarting the level and trying to defeat this boss. And I looked online on tutorials on how to do it, and people were like, yes, it is very, like, on Reddit they were like, I give up, I can't get through this boss, I don't know what to do, like, this is ridiculous. And it was exactly the feeling that I was getting. It was like, I was really enjoying the game, but when I got to this boss, it just completely tanked it for me. I just wanted to just switch it off and never play it again.
Are you supposed to defeat this boss?
Yeah, of course.
I was just reminded of one of my first experiences of Skyrim, and I've owned Skyrim for years, started playing it, like, I don't know, back in 2015, it must have been, but I didn't play it because I got stuck. I got stopped by some giants and killed, and I couldn't get past them. And then a few years later, they were like, "Yeah, you're not supposed to kill them. You're supposed to just run past them." And I was just wondering if it was one of those things where you're not actually supposed to win this boss battle, and you're supposed to, like, come back to it later on when you're a bit more experience leveled up or whatever. I mean, I don't know how Resident Evil works, yeah. whether you can do that or not.
Well, no, you can. So basically, you can do that. Like, there are some not official boss battles, but, like, there are mini boss battles, and you can be like, let's go this. Sorry, mate, arm off, and leg it, and get into the lift, and go up the lift, and leave him there. You know what I mean? Just run past him, and just keep going where you need to go. But this boss, unfortunately, you have to beat it to progress the game. And I did it for hours and hours. And even when I thought, oh my God, I've got him. Cause he basically shoots acid at you. And every time he shoots acid, you have to duck and take cover. And then he exposes himself for you to shoot out. So he's shooting acid at me. I'm shooting him. And it's been like one of the runs I did. It was a good like 15, 20 minutes of me running around, trying to find health, trying to find ammo, because sometimes they drop ammo and they drop health. And I'm shooting him. And then eventually I was like, I've got him. And then sometimes he exposes himself and you can like have like a knife attack. Get
arrested for that.
Well, I'm talking about in the game. So basically, you can knife him, and you're like, ah, I've knifed him twice. I've only got like a few more bullets. I'm sure this is gonna take him, and then dead. I'm like, ah, and then I, you know what? I was just like, there must be a way in which I can change the difficulty of the game itself. Just like change it to easy. And then I can put it back to normal after. So I start looking online. I'm like, yeah, it says you can't put it to easy. The only way you can change the difficulty is if you die and die and die and die. And then eventually it will say, do you want like aim assist? And if it gives you that question and you hit yes, it will allow you to, it will aim assist your gun and change the difficulty to easy. So, because you know when you play a game, you get so frustrated that you don't even realize that this option comes up, and you just keep hitting the A button to restart the lever. So
you went past it like 20 times.
Yeah, I did. So eventually I died another 5 or 6 times, and that option comes up. But there's a big caveat that I didn't realize. Is that I was like, okay, yes, I will take this option. And then once I took the option, it was like piss easy. I took him out in like 2-3 minutes. I was like, oh, this is great. I started looking at the options. I was like, okay, let me turn it off then. Let me try and put it back to normal. And I was like, wait a minute. I can't put it back to normal now. And I was just like, oh, so unfortunately, if you press yes and say, yeah, let's do the aim assist, and it puts it to like easy mode, that's it. You can't change it back. The game is now in easy mode. So for the rest of the game, it was just too easy now. The whole game was just like, I had so much ammo, so much health.
Could you not reload a save and just go back to before you changed it?
No, because what it does is, I suppose, I don't know if it would actually work like that. I think once you hit yes, that's it. Like, even if you save, it hard locks it in to your run. And you can't really tell. Like, well, you can't.
Okay, Tommy, I'm gonna give you a pro tip, and this is quite important.
Go on then.
Have a backup of your computer. If you have a backup of your computer, then you can restore the previous file. Yeah, you might lose a day's gaming or whatever, but if the option is lose a day's gaming or forever have it in way too easy mode, I think I know which option I would choose. And you can even get backup software that will back up like every hour or something, or every time it's changed or something. So it can be pretty granular about it. And I have actually I've used this in the past to save my bacon. There are some games that will only allow you to have one save game at a time. and I accidentally clicked start new game. And like you said, when you press the button without realizing it, to continue the game, you hit continue and then you hit OK. So dum dum, and off you go. And I think I'd knocked the mouse or I'd knocked the controller, and then I went dun dun. And then suddenly it started a brand new game. And I was like halfway through the story. But because I had this backup system on my computer that was backing up the folder where the save game was, and this is why it's great when you have games that save to the documents folder as opposed to their own folder somewhere else, because the documents folder is usually a default folder to be backed up in a sense. All I had to do was go into my backups, delete the files in my documents area, and then copy like yesterday's files over. And then I was back with all my games and everything. So even if you can't do it within the game itself, sometimes you might be able to rescue it that way. So what did you do then? You just had to play the rest of the game in easy mode?
Yeah, it was quite easy. And the thing was, it's like I read afterwards, I was just fascinated to see how many people found this boss battle very hard. And one guy said, look, what you should do is, like, before the boss battle, you can go to a merchant and buy, like, gear. And what he did was he got... When you walk into the room, for some reason, he exposes himself, like, the first 5 seconds of the fight. So you get, like, a few shots into him. So what this guy did, he actually just bought himself a rocket launcher. So if you haven't bought it before in the game, up to that point, then you can just buy the rocket launcher. And the guy just shot the rocket launcher at him and it killed him instantly. And that's what I could have done on normal difficulty, but I didn't think about that. But then what I did was I used the same logic of that guy and did it to the last boss. And the last boss like took me like 10 seconds. I just got my rocket launcher. I shot it at his thing and it spammed a cutscene, and then it's like, oh, now you have to take him out again. So I just got my shotgun, did about 4 shots with my shotgun, and that was it. The boss was over. It was over. It took me like the whole boss battle, which is meant to be the hardest boss battle in the game, took me about 30 seconds because I just rocket launched it and shotgun to face. So yeah, it was quite disappointing. I was just like, I was really enjoying the game, but then I got to this point and it just, I had to literally do that anyway, because I couldn't do it with my conventional weapons. Like, and I had it quite, because you can upgrade your handguns and shotguns. They were pretty much all upgraded. Like, I think it wasn't fully upgraded, but it was pretty much like pretty beefy for where I was in the game. So yeah, I was a bit disappointed with that. I was like, I really wanted to just play it all the way through in normal difficulty. I don't really like changing the difficulty especially like if I'm playing on a console, then I know that's going to affect achievements and trophies. So I try to avoid that. But on PC, I'm just like, well, if I got to do it, I got to do it. Because like, yeah, that was, I spent like hours. I'm talking hours on this one. And I was just like, I can't get frustrated. If I get frustrated, then I'm not going to be able to do it. I just need to do this very calmly. And I did it very calmly and I still just couldn't do it. And I was just like, this is a choke. How can I do this? And even when looking online and looking through like Reddit and YouTube, and they were like, you need to do this, you need to go here. And I did all that and I still just couldn't, do it. Just, but yeah.
Is it that you're getting too old for gaming? Your reactions are too slow?
Maybe. I did notice that. I was like, some of the, like, so after I made that change, I was like, I had so much handgun ammo, and I was like, really like trying to be precise on where I shot my shots on the little zombie people. I was like, why am I doing this? I got so much ammo. I just started shooting like crazy, and I would normally hit him. I was like, I think it's just this phobia of missing. And it would just do one shot and then do another shot like 2-3 seconds later, when I could just do like 2 shots.
Spamming it.
Yeah. And it would normally hit anyway. The game is really good. It's definitely up there of one of the better games I've played over the last few years.
One of the games you're saying is the better games you played in the last few years is a game that came out how long ago?
It came out last year.
You said it was a remake.
Yes, so it's a remake of the 2003 or 4.
Okay, so you're saying the best game you played in the last year is a game that came out 20 years ago.
Yeah, but it's not the same game, Josh. If you've played the original and then you've played this game...
I have no idea.
No,
I have no idea.
It feels like a different game. It is...
Oh, right, okay, fine. If they're two different games, have they... So it's not just a reskin. It's like they've gone through and changed gameplay.
Yeah, exactly.
So now they're doing something similar... they're not doing something similar. Because the Tomb Raider game's coming out, the original PlayStation 1 games... They're going to keep them quite similar to the original games. So where you're saying Resident Evil has gone for a completely different... So I presume it's the same story, but new mechanics, whereas the old Tomb Raider is basically just old mechanics.
Well, they've updated the controls. It's still a bit... It's still, like, I haven't played the original PS1 games in a long time, and I've just used the new controls... And you can toggle like two different modes. There's like the original mode, and there's like a more remastered kind of mode. It's kind of like with the PS1. There's like limitations on draw distance and the frame rate. But now it's like a solid 60 frames per second. And I think I was watching like a Digital Foundry video, and they were saying like if it's so. I think on Xbox like Series X and PS5, it's 4K. 60 and PC is like whatever your resolution on your monitor is and your refresh rate. So if you got a 4K 120, then it will do 4K 120. If it's 1080p, then it will do 1080p whatever refresh rate you have. Could be 1080p 60 or 120. For Switch, I think it's 1080p 60 docked. 1080p 60 docked and 720p 30 frames 60 frames per second portable. And Steam Deck is like what, like if you have the LCD, it's like 800p 60 frames per second. So I was playing it on the Steam Deck and it didn't look too bad. And they've updated the character models a little bit from the original PS1. I think they've done like some sort of AI upscaling of the cutscenes, and they've touched up on the backgrounds if you're playing in the quality remastered mode. So yeah, I've only played like about 20 minutes. But it looks okay. Yeah, it looks like something interesting. Now, I wasn't really used to the controls, and that's with the new controls. Something to get used to. But that's not really a remake. That is a remaster, where they've gone in and they've touched up the character models. They've touched up the frame rate, the resolution, the depth of field. So yeah, it looks okay. Resident Evil 4, the remake, is a totally... They've done character models, the lighting, animations. They've changed some of the levels. Some of the levels have been scrapped and some of them have been added in. Different modes have been added in. It's still the same story and the same beats of the original game. And it's so weird as well. It's like I've played the original all the way through on the Wii and I never had that problem with that boss. On the Wii, but on the remake, I don't know, they made it really hard. I don't know what it is, but they made it really like, it was killing me inside.